have noticed, I did not prepare a sermon, so I am not preaching. And to all the visitors, I apologize. Normally, we are a half-decently normal church, and we have a sermon at this point in time, but we are not going to have a sermon. Like Mr. Dale said, they really encouraged, I'll go back a little bit for the people that don't know. I was, about a year ago, I was preparing to go overseas to Asia and do 6 months of, it was a program called Edge. And so they really recommended me coming back and sharing about it, and it just never really happened. And then when I was supposed to preach, I thought it'd be a good time to do it. So, but as I was preparing for, this presentation, I kind of switched gears about part of the way through. And so I'm actually going to be sharing more of my story, because Edge, it's hard to tell about Edge without knowing where I came from. And so much of the impact that Edge had on me is because of where I came from in the past and what I was dealing with at that point in time when I went on Edge. So I don't want to take too much time, but I'm just going to get some basic information of where I was before Edge. So about coming out of high school, graduating, stuff like that, I battled with depression pretty bad. There's a lot of, I don't know why I did. There's a lot of different things that affected my life at that time through about high school until about last year. There's a lot of different things in life that, just was not going right for me. I tried a lot of different things. I was searching. I felt like I was trying. And every time I really tried my hardest to try to battle through depression, all the different situations going on in my life, it felt like I got nowhere. I was crying out to God, and it felt like He never came through on my part. I did different stuff. I would hear these stories about how God would just show up in people's lives, and it felt like He never once did that for me. So through my pain and suffering at that time, I did grow bitter towards God. Me and God felt like we were going completely opposite pages in life. I felt like I was trying to get my life together, and God was not helping me at all. So I had a lot of bitterness towards God. I had a lot of bitterness, why He was allowing so much stuff in my life, and why I was struggling with depression and so much other stuff in my life. I started having harmful thoughts towards myself. And I lost pretty much all my joy in life. I had no happiness, barely knew how to take a joke. I did not enjoy life at all. And basically every day was a dread. I soon had no reason to live. I didn't even want to live. But there's always a little tiny sliver in the back of my mind. It's like, what if I did something about this? What if I actually chose to stand up and fight through this? And I did not know how to do that at that time. Like I said, through the years, I kind of tried little stuff here and there. And so I decided to go on Edge because I knew it was a program. I was kind of familiar with it because I went on Charge maybe about 3 years ago, and I saw a glimpse of what Edge does to the guys. that would go on edge. And I said, if I do anything, if I want to rise up and battle through this and actually live a fulfilling life, the only way I know how to do it is by going on edge. So about a year ago, I signed up for Edge. And yeah, of course they called me and I told them where I was. And they actually did not want me to come at that point in time. They said, with what you're going through and stuff, Edge is not for you. And so that was kind of a setback. And once again, I was like, well, why? It just kind of went along with everything I was feeling at that point in life. So I did some different stuff and was on medication and stuff. And I got to the point where they did allow me to go on Edge. So I did go on Edge. And it's been a journey ever since then. So yeah, I do have some pictures, and I am going to be sharing about my trip a little bit. But most of my pictures is about trips that I like really learned something, or yes, things that it felt like God really came through. So the first thing you do on Edge is you go over there and you do a 2-week hiking trip with the guys, which is,
you probably won't see the pictures that well. That was our team.
It was me, then the leader, the next guy in line, he was our leader. Then Landon, he was an Edge bro. And then an assistant leader. And then the last guy there is another Edge bro. So there's three of us guys on the team. And hike was, it was good. It's pretty intense. You do a lot of hiking, and during that time, it's a time where you really, I don't know, dig into your heart and like find out what's there and stuff. And it's a time of, yeah, connecting with your guys. And we have these books that they gave us that we go through, Genesis books. We had a theme for every day. And we kind of focused on that. Anyway, it was a time of really just sharing with your guys and like telling them exactly where you are in life. And it was a time of a lot of like vulnerability, and I don't know, it was good for me to just confess like everything, what was going on in my life and stuff. And then to have those guys there and be like, it doesn't matter, like we're here for you and stuff, and we're gonna grow with you during this time. So that was, hike was a very powerful time for me. You can go to the next one. So or zoom in, doesn't matter. So some of the stuff we did on hike, we set up camp a lot of times. We were based out of Malaysia, and which is close to the equator, is about 90 degrees year round. We flew into Nepal to do our hike, and the first night there, we woke up the next morning and we had frost on the ground, and I think we each had maybe one sweater along. It was so cold. You can't see it in the picture, but there is frost there. Also, that tent is it's a 4-man tent, and if you know anything about tenting, if they say it's a 4-man tent, you can get 3 guys in there, but comfortably it's a 2-man tent. Well, it was that cold, we slept 5 guys in that tent. We were piled up in that tent, but we did not care. So we had another tent along, but we never once used it. So you can go to the next one. So yeah, that's what we did. We learned how to use a map and compass. And that's the only way we figured out our way through the mountains of Nepal. So it was a good time of working together and figuring stuff out. You can go to the next. Unfortunately, all of us got sick except for one person. And that's pretty much how we took care of the sick. We just let them lay beside the trail or where we were. It was kind of rough. I think all of us were puking at some time. And but yeah, just let them lay down on the ground and give them a drink, and they'll come around soon enough. So you can go to next. That's a scenery picture you can't really see, but yeah. So this is kind of our main point we were trying to get to. It was called Peaky Peak. As you can see, it was really cold. We don't know how cold it was because we had no phones or anything, and we had no way of finding out what the temperature was. But one morning we rose. We knew this point was a good spot. You could see 5 of the tallest points in the world from that point right there. So that was kind of a highlight. The guy on the end here, the very last guy, if you see his fist is like resting on Mount Everest. So we got to see that there, which is pretty cool. I'm using my pictures as notes, so I think that's all I wanted to say about that. You can go to the next. So before we went on hike, we decided that while we were there for 6 months, that we wanted to read through the entire Bible while during our 6 months on Edge. So we did a lot of Bible reading while we were over there, and especially during hike. The leaders gave us some awesome advice and said that we should probably get a jump on it, because with as busy as you are over there and stuff, that you will probably fall behind. So we did a lot of Bible reading while we were over there. Also, I do remember at this point in time in hike, this was solo day, but right before we did solo day, that river there that you see in the background, that was like the first river we came to in, well, the first river we came to at that point in time, which is we were probably about a week and a half into hike, and that's when we were able to get our first shower of the trip, and it has been about like, yeah, I think 10 days since we had showered, so. That river was like melted ice coming off the mountains, so it was super cold, but we enjoyed getting cleaned up for a little bit, so. You can go next. This was heading out for our first trip, and I don't know, a lot of excitement, first trip after hike. It was to Vietnam, and yeah, so I have this trip up here because something really cool happened. You can go to the next slide. We had a couple days in Vietnam before we met our contact, and they said just explore the city while you're there before you meet the contact. So we did a lot. It was a cool time after coming off hike and stuff, and you really were, I don't know, it was a time of deep, I don't know, you searched your heart, and I don't know, it was a pretty heavy time at that point in time. And then coming off, going on our first trip, a lot of excitement, going through hike with your bros and then able to do stuff with them now, and going on your first trip. We were able to do a lot of fun stuff in the couple days that before we met our contact. And so we went to the war museum over there, the Vietnam War Museum. And I was able to shoot a 50 cal machine gun, which is pretty cool. You can go to the next slide. We went to the Cu Chi tunnels. And if you know anything about the Vietnam War, it's where the Vietnamese soldiers would have lived and ran around during the war. So we were able to go in there and experience that. Go next. So after that was a tour we did. After that, we were able to meet the tour guide, the front over here. He's like, hey, he would like to hang out with us guys after the tour and just show us around town. So we're like, shoot, we'll do that. And so he took us to like his home area and just showed us around town. We got some cool, interesting food. You can go next. That is not what it looks like. It is actually meat, although it does not really look like it. And I'm not sure how well you can see it, but it was actually not too bad. It was better than it looked. You can go next. And we also had clams and oysters and stuff, so that's some of the food we ate while we were over there. And yeah, it was all right. You go next. So after the couple days of having fun stuff and being tourists, we met our contact, and the one guy actually left us. So it was just two of us, got me and Landon, and we met our contact. And the reason I have this is because I felt like that was a God thing. This picture is probably the most serious we were that entire time. Within meeting him, we were like laughing nonstop. And I don't know why, but for some reason we just laughed. And it wasn't always funny stuff, really. But we pretty much spent 90% of our time laughing when we were together. And so it felt like it was a God thing, because beforehand I did not know how to laugh. Like, it had been a long time since I like had a genuine laugh and was like, yeah. And so like coming on edge and that being our first contact is a guy that I can just laugh with and have fun with. I really felt like that was a God thing to just like show me how to do that again. And also, I don't have any pictures of this, but even our second contact was a guy very similar to this. Like, he was an Australian working in Chiang Mai, and he was just the most down to earth, didn't care. Like, he says that all Eastern missionaries are way too serious. And so his point, whenever he has to work alongside like other missionaries, his point is to like try to lighten them up and stuff and not take life so seriously. And I was like, wow, like, yeah, I can agree with that, because I was coming over there taking everything way too seriously. So that was my second contact. So I also felt like that was a God thing. You go next. So yeah, on this trip, this was with that contact in Vietnam. The first thing we did when meeting him was he told me to clean his house. So I went and cleaned his house. And then the next day I found out that he was actually moving from that house into another apartment. And he told us that it's up to me to decorate his new house. And so I was an interior decorator for my first mission while on edge. This was one of the first evenings. I spent several hours behind the computer just like buying stuff, planning out what I wanted to decorate his house with. And the day before that, me and Landon, we were going through town, picking out furniture for his house, buying stuff. It was very unique. It's not what I expected. You can go to the next slide. And then that was us doing different stuff in his house, putting up some of my random decorations. Anyway, we did have a team come in later after that, and they had no clue we were there, but they came back into town. They told us that they were actually impressed with the decorations of that guy's house, and they had no clue it was me that decorated it, so I felt pretty good about that. So you can go to the next slide. So this is another trip right after the Vietnam trip. This trip is very crucial for me, or very impactful, because I felt like during this trip I learned how to, I guess, trust God again, because it felt like God was never on my side, and it always felt like he was against me. And so this trip was a trip that was Bible smuggling. We smuggled from Thailand into Laos, and I think we smuggled about 750 pounds of Bibles into Laos in just two trips. So we had our packs, our big trekkers, we had a roller, and we had a little day pack, and we had about two sets of clothes and maybe a couple personal belongings. So like all the rollers you see are slam packed of Bibles. Our trekkers are probably 90% Bibles, and we have a couple Bibles in our day packs. And so learning to trust God again on that was very, very important for me. So we smuggled all those about 750 pounds of Bibles into Laos. And then from Laos, we had a couple of days where we were waiting on our visas to Vietnam. And then we were going to smuggle a couple Bible or a portion of those Bibles into Vietnam. And so we were just chilling in town in Laos waiting on our visas. It took a couple days. You can go to the next picture. Oh, yeah. We were breaking rollers. And this is Josh. He was fixing one with a stick. But we had that much weight in it that we were breaking rollers and stuff. Anyway, going back to... Yeah, you can go. Maybe I should skip this story. It looks kind of bad. No. So we had a couple days in Laos, and we found a school that opened up in the evenings to allow foreigners to come in, and they could practice their English on the foreigners. So in the evenings at the school, like any foreigner could just show up, and then they would split up the people, and they could practice their English on you. And so us three guys, we were bored. We were just waiting in town for our visas, and we're like, hey, we'll do that one evening. So we show up there, and somehow I managed to get a bunch of group of girls around me. And pretty much all they wanted to talk about was dating and marriage. But I believe it was, we did actually sneak in some other conversation once in a while. But it really hit me because I believe this girl up here, we got to talking about religion. Now they would be Buddhist. And we got to talking about religion. And I mentioned something about what I believe in. And you kind of had to be, they don't understand all English, so you kind of had to be very simple and basic in what you say. And I just mentioned something about Jesus. And I think it was this girl up here that said she never once heard of Jesus or the name Jesus. So it kind of hit me. It's like, wow. So I tried to explain a little bit who he was, but with simple, basic English, it's kind of hard. So, yeah, that's what we were doing in a couple of days, waiting on our Vietnam visas. So a crazy story that I have to tell because it is very, another very impactful thing. So going in Vietnam, so we had the 750 pounds of Bibles in Laos. And we were smuggling one roller full into Vietnam. And so we each had a roller, so we had two empty rollers, and we had one jam-packed full of Bibles. So we just stuck the one that was jammed full of Bibles, we stuck it inside another roller, and then we stuck those two rollers inside another roller. So it was like two rollers inside of each other. And we had a couple Bibles in our trekkers. But other than that, it was mainly one roller and a couple in our bags, and that was it. So we are trying to smuggle these into Vietnam and give them to our contact there. And we get to the border, and it was early morning, and we get out, and we're checking in. We're trying to get our, we're stamping into Vietnam. And as we're sitting there waiting in line, we look over at the scanners, and the security was by far probably the worst security I've ever seen. Like, they were checking absolutely everyone. Tiny little handbags, they were pulling people aside, and we're going through the tiniest little purses. And I'm like, oh boy, there is no possible way we're getting our books through. And it was, I don't even enjoy Bible smuggling. Like, I'm a good citizen, abiding citizen, so I do not enjoy stuff like that. And it seems like everyone else enjoys it. Oh, they love the adrenaline and stuff. And I've learned to enjoy it now, and it's fun. But at that point in time, it just felt like God never came through on my part. It's like I would always, the first time I ever Bible smuggled, I got caught. And so that's still fresh in my mind. And it's like, why? And God never comes through on my part. So it's like, I don't enjoy it. Anyway, so we got stamped into the country, and then you had to go back and pick up your bags from the bus and then go through the scanners, and then you wait for the bus on the other side, and you hop on and you go. So we all get stamped in, and we all come back, and here we have this one roller. And it's like, okay, who's going to take this one roller? Because it's guaranteed to get caught almost. And the leader, it was us three guys, the leader's like, well, this is y'all's trip. I think one of y'all should carry it. And he leaves. I'm like, great. Yeah, I see where this is going. And the other guy, I just looked at the other guy, and in my mind, it's like, I am not taking this roller. And the other guy just looks at me, and all over his face, it's like, there's no way I'm taking this roller. And so it's like, without saying anything, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take it. So I took it. In the back of my mind, I mean, I was praying like crazy, but in the back of my mind, I still had that bitterness towards God. And I was like, God, you never show up on my part. You never do. It felt like God never did anything for me. And I picked up that bag to almost prove to God that he never does anything for me. And I was like, God, if you want to, yeah, I don't know what all was going through my mind, but I picked up the bag, went into the building, threw it on the scanner, and it came through the scanner, and I was about to grab it, all of a sudden stops and starts going back, goes back through the scanner, comes out again. As soon as I pick it up, guys shouting at me, open up your bags, open up your bags. And I'm like, yep, here it goes. God's not doing anything for me. And the whole entire time I am praying that God would do something. So I pulled off the scanner and I set it there. And I tried to just keep ignoring him and walk on, but he stood right in front of me and I was going nowhere. And so I just plopped it down and he's like, open up your bags. He kept saying, open up my bag. So I just unzipped it, and the lid of the suitcase was full of Bibles. Because normally I just unzip and let them deal with it. It's like, okay, you go through it. But I knew it was full of Bibles, so I knew it was very heavy. So I lifted up the lid and just opened it up. Well, of course, there sits the other suitcase inside of it, because we had doubled them up. And as soon as I opened up the lid, he like shoves me out of the way, and he starts going through it. And of course, he opens, the lid was open, you see another suitcase in there. So he unzipped that one, flipped that lid up, and of course, there's a third one in there with all the Bibles. And instead of unzipping the third one, he lifts it up and looks under it. He lifts up all the Bibles, looks under it, plops it down, lifts up the second one, looks under it, goes around the sides and says, all right, you're good. And words don't describe what was going through me at that point. But so I just zipped it up and went hauling out and hopped on my bus and went. But it was like, it almost felt like God slapped me a little bit. It's like, you know what? I am powerful and I can do. I do come on, I mean, come, yeah, I lost my train of thought, but anyway, it was a very powerful thing, and at that point in time, it's like, you know what, God does fight battles on my part, too, so that was super cool. You can go to the next one. I think I'll talk about this trip, and then I have a couple more trips on here, but I think we need to get out of here a little bit early. So the main thing with this trip, this was like a mission trip within a mission trip. So we after that being smuggling all the Bibles, we get back home, and here some Malaysians were doing a mission trip to Thailand. And so we were just tagged along with them. We're like, hey, we'll do a mission trip with you. So this was the group of mission or people that were doing a mission trip to Thailand. And the thing that really stuck out from this trip is the leaders right down here at the bottom, just to see his face. He said something to me that always stuck with me, and I needed it towards the beginning of Edge also. I also feel it's kind of a God thing. He said the three most important things for a successful mission trip, I believe is what he said. He said the number one thing is your relationship with God. He said that is the most important thing. And he said, second of all, it's your relationship with your team and with others that you're working with. Third thing is your mission. And he said, if the first two are not right, he said, your mission will not be near as effective. And so during this trip, we spent a lot of time with God. We did a lot of devotional stuff. We made sure we were close to God during that time. And then we also did stuff to connect as a team. And then throughout that, it felt like our mission was way more effective because the first two were right. That's one thing that always stuck with me. And you can almost apply it to a lot of different areas in life. You can go to next. Next. I think I'll just skip through some of the stuff. You can go to next. Yeah, I got the chance to lead a charge trip. The thing that I really got out of that was how God, He cares about the little details. There's so many things during this trip that's like, wow, that was God working. And so coming from, it's once again just God like showing himself to me. And it was super cool. So you can skip to this trip. Keep skipping. That policeman, he was the guy that for the people that were here when I gave my devotions, the guy that paid for all of our stuff, that was that guy there. So there's that story. You can keep going. Just some scenery. Still on trip. Monkey. You can keep going. We did a lot of praying in temples and stuff during that time, so keep going. We'll skip that trip. You can just leave it there. So yeah, I'm going to close it up here. That was a little bit of my journey that I've been on in the past, and it's really cool to see like all of these things I dealt with before Edge, and it felt like how God showed himself real, like all the lies I believed, and also lies I believed about God, and all the bitterness and stuff. And it felt like through my journey through Edge, how God just came down and actually met and kind of gave me answers to a lot of these questions that I had. And it was super cool. And it was a time of a lot of growth in my life. And I'm very glad I went on that trip. And I'm glad that God took me on that journey. And the one thing I do want to say before I sit down, I am not anywhere close to where I want to be yet. I am still on that journey, and I still want to grow. Sometimes it feels like I'm right back to where I was in the past couple years, but I feel like I have a lot more tools and stuff that I can use to keep growing, and I just want to give God all the glory, for what He's doing in my life. And I just want to, for I don't know what people may be going through, we all have fight our own battles, but don't give up. No matter what you're going through, take it seriously. Do something to stand up and fight for, fight through whatever you're going through. Don't just lay down, kind of what I did for years. I kind of played the victim and just got mad at God. And I would really encourage you not to do that, but to stand up and, strive for something better. That's all I have. And also, I lost track of how we normally close, but I guess I'll pray, and we'll just close with a song, I guess. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for each one of these people that are here. God, each one is on a journey, and you are drawing them closer to you. God, I pray that each one of us would, not play the victim, and God, I pray that we'd just keep fighting on, fight the good fight. And guys, I pray a blessing on each of these people. God, I pray you would just give your strength to them and whatever they do or whatever they may be going through. God, I thank you for the journey that you took me on, and I just want to give you the honor and glory. God, I thank you for this time that we had to be here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and sing the first verse of Blessed Assurance.